You're listening to Muses and Stuff, the podcast that celebrates those who live, love, and breathe rock and roll.
From the incredible groupies, girlfriends, and wives who went after what and who they wanted,
to the journalists, photographers, and other behind-the-scenes characters who play such an important part in rock and roll history.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Hi, Lynx.
Hey, it's so good to be back doing this. It feels like it's been forever, but it really hasn't been that long.
No, not really. It's just that we had recorded two episodes on the same day to make sure that we got it out while you were in London.
Yes.
So welcome home.
Thank you.
From London.
Yeah, that trip was amazing. I'm excited to tell you a couple stories.
Can't wait to hear them.
Just wanted to talk a little bit about the rock and roll archaeology.
Yeah, so we are so, so, so excited to announce that we have joined with a network for a really long time. For the first year and a half that Lynx and I were doing this podcast, it was just the two of us, and we just stuck with our own little like independent setup.
Yep.
And we just waited and waited until the right team of people came along.
Exactly.
And sure enough, they did. So we've joined with these amazing people in San Francisco, California, called Rock and Roll Archaeology.
And we found each other through Elvis related episodes, which is so cool. And these guys, all of the podcasts, there's multiple ones. There's something for everyone there. If you're a rock and roll fan, you're probably going to love all of them.
And they're dominating, I think, the music section on iTunes for being, you know, some of the top sort of quality and listen to shows. So it's a real honor to be a part of them. So they've got some shows. We'll just mention a few of them, but a couple that we really, really like are the Rock and Roll Librarian. Let me try that again. The Rock and Roll Librarian.
Yeah, that one's a great one.
So actually kind of similar to us in a sense. Shelley is amazing. She's the host and she reads
awesome books.
And then Christian Swain, who does rock and roll archaeology, and that they have a lot of production and a lot of research and a lot of editing, so that comes out less frequently. But he sits in with Shelley and then he doesn't even read the book, but she talks about it and he just sort of adds in little things here and there.
Yeah.
So her latest episode that she released was about the book Hit So Hard by the drummer of Hole.
Yeah, Patty. I love her. I love Hole so much. This book has been on my must-read list forever, and I still haven't, so I'm going to listen to this episode and then dive into the book for
sure. And Shelley kind of does the extra research, too. She goes online, she reads articles, she mentions YouTube videos where you can find clips and stuff, so really, again, like well-researched, really great, and good dynamic between them. And then another one that I really like is called Real Rock, which is R-E-E-L, Rock, where Andy talks about a podcast movie.
Rock and roll movies.
Nope. Thank you. I'm just like so excited and I just, I don't know words today.
No, but his show's so funny. Tons of humor in it. You're literally laughing out loud while you're listening to it.
His one episode that he did on Rockstar, the movie with Mark Wahlberg, had me dying because I also love hate that movie. So I think he just straight up hates it. It was really good, really, really funny. And then so there's Vinyl Snob, and like they are getting some fantastic interviews too, and they're a growing network. And I feel like now that we're, you know, 70 some episodes in, I feel like our podcast is kind of in its adolescence, you know, like we're not babies anymore, but we still have a lot of ways to go. And I think we're just now in this like wonderful transition and this wonderful growth period. So we just want to thank everybody who's been listening, you know, from the beginning, or who has like come on recently, and just welcome to all of the new listeners.
And if you've never heard of Rock and Roll Archaeology, go to the site, check out all they have to offer. you're going to love it. It's so exciting to be part of this.
And it's a lot easier now for people who have Androids to be listening to our podcast and their podcast, because we're so small and independent that we just pretty much kept it to our website and to iTunes, mm-hmm. which is more compatible with Apple.
Yep.
So now it's going to be a lot easier to access the podcast, and they're just going to have a really farther of a reach. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. So many exciting things coming up.
Yeah. If you're listening to this on our network, then again, thank you so much for listening and for all of your engagements and for loving rock and roll history and groupies and stuff about music as much as we do. And again, for everybody that's just tuning in, we're really excited for you to get to know us and for us to get to know you and to engage online. And
everything's
a lot of fun.
So positive, and it's like impossible not to talk about this with this huge smile plastered on my face right now. Like,
yeah.
I can't stop smiling.
Yeah. Same here.
Good. Yeah.
And so what we normally do is every week we either bring you an interview or we bring you an episode on a book that we've read about a muse or a groupie or a woman who has like inspired the life of the rock star. But because, you know, like I said, we're in a transitional stage right now and we've just joined with this network, we just wanted to let you know about that. And we have a little bit of a different episode today.
Yeah. I was away, so I wasn't doing my regular research mode, but I have lots of fun rock and roll stories to tell.
And I mean, that's what we're all about.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some fun rock and roll stories and people can get to know us a little bit more, because usually we just dive right into our episodes about the women. And, you know, 70 some episodes in, we can have a moment for ourselves.
Yeah.
And if you're like, I don't care, Shanti Links, about you, then that's cool. We'll be back with another episode about another interesting woman next
week.
Calling through the faraway towns, now war is declared and battle come down. London calling to the underworld, come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls.
So yeah, my friend Lisa won this incredible trip to England and she took me along. I cannot thank her enough for that. And our friend Sarah tagged along as well. And part of the contest win was getting to see Pearl Jam and the Rolling Stones while in England. So that was unbelievable.
Wow.
And the first, we arrived, first night was Pearl Jam. It was so good. Pearl Jam is one of my favorite bands, especially, I grew up in the 90s and the nostalgia really hits hard there. And get it? Hit so hard.
Oh, got it. Yeah, got it. Sorry, I was just transfixed at how beautiful you look right now. I was like, I was listening, but I was just like, my God, she's so beautiful. Sorry, I'm in it. Hit so hard. Got it.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And the coolest thing is Sarah had a family friend that lives there who just happens to be a Pearl Jam fan. So we met up with this woman named Linda. Linda is the coolest woman I've ever met in my life. She's 70. She and her son, Steven, they were there. Apparently, this is what they do. This is their bonding experience. Aww. They go to Pearl Jam concerts. She's been to over like 25 all across the world. I think they're going to like Barcelona next month to see them. She's been here to see them in Toronto. She's a Pearl Jam groupie. There's like no other word for it. And I think Linda might have been the most excited of all of us. And her house is just covered in Pearl Jam stuff. And she's just like the coolest woman ever. So we got to hang out with her before the show and have some drinks. And the show itself was incredible. My favorite Pearl Jam song is Black, and they played that. And they played Better Man and just all these amazing songs. And the craziest thing, though, is that Eddie Vedder apparently was sick. You couldn't tell. He sounded amazing. But they were playing two nights in England. And then second night, they had to cancel. Yeah. So we really lucked out.
Lucky
again.
Lisa.
Yeah. Thankfully, we got to see. Unfortunately, Linda had tickets to both shows.
Oh,
but they said they'll be coming back in July. So she gets to see them twice again in July.
Sure.
So Yeah, Linda was amazing. That's definitely how I picture us at 70. Just continuing.
Cheers to that. Right?
She's a very young 70. You would never know she was 70. Like, no way. No way.
That's a that's the rock and roll spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sheets of empty canvas, untouched sheets of clay, were spread out before me as her body was still.
And then the next night we went to Twickenham for the Rolling Stones. And my God, Mick Jagger, all of them still have such a youthful spirit, Bronwyn especially as well. But Mick Jagger was out there dancing, like moving. He never stopped like walking and dancing and singing. I don't know how he has it in him to do that like night after night. I would not be able to do what he does. He was unbelievable. And my dad, of course, is a huge Rolling Stone fan as well. And he had like three requests. He was like, if they play Tumbling Dice.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
If they play Midnight Rambler and if they play Gimme Shelter, like, please take a video of it or something. And they played all three.
I like, just got goosebumps hearing that for some reason.
It was so amazing to hear Midnight Rambler.
Did you cry at all?
I didn't. I held it together, but it was really special. And it did feel so amazing, especially to be in England and see the Rolling Stones in England. Everyone there was so into it, and the crowds were like really, you know, excited and happy to be there. It was definitely had like a great spirit to the whole thing. The crazy thing.
Yeah. Wait, there's a crazy thing?
The real adventure happened when the show went over, because all the like the train stations were like closed because there was some issue, and like 60,000 Rolling Stone fans, including us, were like stranded trying to figure out our way back into the city because Twickenham's pretty far out. Long story short, it should have taken us an hour from... We got out around 10:30. We should have been back at our hotel by like 11:30. We got there at like 3. Yeah. So that was an adventure.
Oh, boy.
Did not ruin it, though. I mean, the Rolling Stones were still good. I'm trying to focus on that. But that was certainly an experience as well.
Well, I've never seen Pearl Jam. I've never seen the Rolling Stones. That sounds amazing. I definitely like to see the Stones.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam, I could leave. But speaking of Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
I saw Harry Styles.
Yes.
So that show was amazing.
Yeah.
And we were seated in the lower bowl. And when I got there, I realized like, well, I don't want to be anywhere near the floor because those fans are wild.
Crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
Plus, if I'm not standing at the front because I'm so short, I don't want to be standing 3 rows back, 4 rows back. I'd rather be elevated.
For sure.
So we ended up sitting in seats where it was like... all of the standing room, and then right behind the standing room is where we were sitting, and there's nobody in front of us.
Amazing.
So we had a great view of the stage, great view of like the big TVs, but what ended up happening was Harry came down from the stage and there was a path on the floor, and he came down the path, and then lights shone down. There was a stage right in front of us. There was a stage right in front of us, and he got up there, and it was just like a couple of acoustic songs up there. But he, like, it was awesome. It was like such a great show. He played his whole album, which was released last year. A couple of new songs, which sounded so good. A couple of One Direction songs, which like I did not care for because I've never been a One Direction
fan. Did he do any covers?
He did The Chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he did when I saw him as well.
Yeah. So it was a fantastic show, and he's such a great performer.
Was he wearing that amazing suit?
He was wearing a great suit. He's wearing a pink suit.
Oh.
And, yeah, and, like, happy Pride Month, everybody. And his new song is about being bisexual. So it was so sexy.
Apologies are never gonna fix this.
It was a fantastic show, and I had a really good time with a friend of mine named Chantel.
Amazing.
Both two Chantels.
Shanti and Chantel.
Yeah, so we had it was just great. Like, the seats were great. It was like, you know, when you're just looking around and you're like, I appreciate the enthusiasm of the fans. I'm not there anymore. I'm like a bit older, more mature.
Yeah.
But I also did have the realization that the last time I was at the ACC, I was backstage for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and I was side stage. So it was a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I was happy to be there.
I'm glad you had such a good seat at the ACC as well. Sometimes that's a little difficult, but
yeah,
that's cool that he kind of thought about the audience put different stages in different areas type of thing. And
yeah,
so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then another thing that we were thinking of as our podcast has been expanding, and we've already started going into our own little groupie stories, you know, and I'm sure I've talked about, you know, my love for Tom Petty almost every single episode ever, and about my experience last summer being on a Tom Petty tour bus and going backstage and all that kind of stuff. So definitely go back and listen to our old episodes. I'm sure they're in there somewhere. But we were wondering if our listeners ever wanted to submit some of their own groupie stories.
Yes.
So, but what we were kind of chatting about was, well, maybe people are shy. Yeah. Right? Maybe they don't know quite what to expect from, like, what we're asking. And we're like, submit a story about you being a groupie or a fan or anything like that. Because, of course, sometimes when people think about groupies,
they think just solely sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it has to be salacious, or it has to be, you know, like a big reveal of something. And it really doesn't have to be.
No.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a little groupie story. Just, you know, something kind of from a few years ago to maybe inspire some people to go, oh, you know what? I do have a story like that. And you're welcome to name the band if you want, and don't if you don't want to. But it's always a place of just like positivity and respect.
Absolutely.
So we always want to respect, you know, the, you know, privacy, families, and, you know, anything like that. So don't worry, people. We're not asking for
crazy
dirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of dirt, there is actually a movie being made
of the book. Yeah,
Motley Crue's Dirt. So
I imagine it's gonna be some.
So Charisse Neal,
yes,
is portrayed in that movie.
Yeah,
and on her podcast she has the actress that plays her come on the podcast. Ooh. And they discuss the
I need to listen.
Yeah, so that podcast is called Single AF. There's stuff that I love about the podcast, and there's some of that I'm just like, oh my goodness. So, anyways, that's, I guess, a plug for their podcast. Okay, so you want to hear a little groupie story?
Yeah, give it to me.
Okay, so this is a really fun one that takes place when I was living in Peterborough. And at this point, all of my girlfriends had pretty much moved away from Peterborough because they'd graduated university. So one was living in Vancouver, whatever. And I had one more year to go because I had done my undergrad and I had one more year. So I stayed, and I became just like friends with Dave Toby, the owner of The Spill, and I ended up living above The Spill.
Perfect place for a groupie.
Yeah. So back then, bands would come to town and they would play The Spill, mm-hmm. and then they had a place to stay and they didn't have to pay for it. So there was a room upstairs. So I paid a significantly less amount of rent by just like washing the sheets or tidying up. And I didn't mind doing that. And a lot of the times the bands were so respectful that they were getting this place that it would never get trashed or anything. And so it really wasn't a big deal. So as far as I knew, there was no band staying that night. But I happened to go out to a show to see maybe the to see a band, and this band called the Bright Light Social Hour were opening. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't know who the Bright Light Social Hour are, they're a band from Texas. It's like four guys. They all have hair as long as you, Lynx.
Amazing.
They're all so cute and so nice, and I was just blown away. So definitely go check them out, because they're definitely still like making music and they're active, and I think they're on their like third album.
Awesome.
And the last time I saw them, they were headlining a big show in Toronto.
Oh,
so
great.
I kind of caught them when they were opening in a small venue in Peterborough, and now when they come to Toronto, they've got this whole fan base and they're playing like the Phoenix or
good for them.
Yeah. So it was one of those situations where you're there to see the main band, but you realize that the opening band is like way better, or you're like, oh man, they're going to be so great one day. And I was kind of riding solo for that. So, or I had had like one of my friends, he was going to come meet me later. So after the first band played, they were just hanging around and they were all cute guys from Texas. And so I was chatting them up and they were all cuter as the next one. And I just said, so where are you guys staying tonight? And this is before Airbnbs too. Yep. So a lot of the times they, like when bands will come to town, they just hope that they meet somebody whose floor they can crash on, or they're like driving out of town to a cheap hotel.
Yeah.
And I was like, where are you guys staying tonight? And they were like, we don't know. Maybe just drive out of town kind of thing. And I was like, well, I've got this space upstairs. I live above a bar that has a place for bands, and I don't know anybody that's staying there. And or I don't think there's a band staying there tonight. So you guys are welcome to stay there. And there's a, you know, I tell Dave about this now and he laughs at me. But if he would have known it at the time, he would have been like, Shanti. So, but anyways, it was kind of harmless. So they were like, yeah, sure. And so my friend ended up showing up. And pretty much all night, I just hung out with this great band, showed them the town, walked around. Yep. And then when it was time to sort of head back up to show them where they were staying, there was a band.
No.
Yeah, there was a band staying there that night. And it's a band called Cousins.
Okay.
From Halifax.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really liked this band too. And I was just like, oh, shit. I've double booked. I've overbooked a band to stay here. But what there was beside the band room was a dojo. And it was a long room with hardwood floors and brick walls, and nobody was ever in there. And either the door wasn't locked or I had a key, but we're not supposed to use that room for anything. But I was like, well, guys, how do you feel about sleeping in the dojo tonight? And they're like, that's great.
Yeah.
We have sleeping bags and stuff. So I set them all up with their sleeping bags in the dojo and gave them towels for the shower. And one of them, I remember, took a really nice photo of the band sleeping, which they had posted somewhere, and it was really nice. And then the next day, we were all hanging out, and they were like, do you want to come to Montreal with us?
Nice.
And I was like, oh, man, I would love to, but I was taking, like, a summer course at the university. And I was like, I'd love to, but I can't. I'm taking a summer course, and I got to go to class. And they were just like, okay. Well, thanks anyways. And it was like a really nice little meeting. And then I saw them, and I have, like, when they came to Toronto, that's a whole other story, because their opening band was insane. So that's another story for another time. But that's just like one little groupie story that I have.
Definitely have the same groupie stories as that, and this is another reason why I love my dad so much. I was living with my dad and having bands like sleep on the floor and on the couch and everything, and my dad was like cool with it.
Oh yeah. Okay, so then I had told the band, when you guys loop back around, because they were like looping sort of back around, I said, stop by my farm, because I was spending all of my summers at my family farm. Mm-hmm. I was like, stop by the farm and we'll like give you guys lunch. You can stay there, whatever. We've got lots of space. And they're like, awesome, we'll do that. So we exchanged information. And then like a few days before they were going to come back and whatever it was, they were like, our van got totally burglarized. No. All of our equipment was stolen, so we've got to bypass brutal. And we've got to go and like figure this thing out. But my family was like, oh yeah, Shanti, sure, an entire band of like long-haired guys yeah. from Texas can come and stay at the farm.
Gotta love our families.
And my dad ended up loving this band so much because I had the CD, so we played it pretty much that entire summer. Aww. And even now my dad will check in and be like, so how's that band? And I'm like, they're great.
I love our dad so much.
Okay, and then I just remembered this one thing too. That was the summer that I met Pamela DeBar for the first time.
Oh,
I met Miss P because she hosted a writing workshop via Skype.
Oh.
So it was actually in the dojo that I sat. There was a fan on me and I put my computer up and there was me and like two other girls and we did like an online writing workshop.
That's
and
so
that
cool.
was before I knew you. That was before I even knew that a groupie world existed.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought I was like the only one. I didn't know that other people cared about groupies and muses. And so for people who are listening who are new who don't know who Pamela DeBar is, she is one of the most world's famous groupies.
Absolutely, yeah. And an incredible author. She's mm-hmm. got five books, mm-hmm. six books maybe.
Mm-hmm.
She's still writing. She's gonna.
She's our writing mentor.
Absolutely.
We Lynx and I met through her writing workshop.
Yeah.
So anyways.
And she's supporter
amazing.
Of like us and all, you know, us younger women who have come after her and look up to her. And yeah, she's the best.
Yeah, I remember asking her when she was here just to like, just tell me what it was like to kiss Mick Jagger.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me. Yeah, so there's a groupie story. So there, it doesn't have to be, you know, outrageous, and it doesn't have to be. So just let us know. We're curious
yeah,
to know
whatever you want to share.
Whatever you want to share,
yeah.
we're open to that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good one.
Thanks.
I'll start thinking about more to share.
Yeah, so we're going to expect one from you next time.
All right.
So to finish this little, whatever you want to call it.
I remember I wanted to say something.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So this is my last week working at Massey Hall.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't live in Toronto or Canada and you're like, what's Massey Hall? That is the venue that every artist wants to play. That's the venue that has the most history in Canada. That's the place. So many iconic people have been through there. The sound is incredible. It's been going since 1894. The history is just insane. I've worked there for 5.5 years. It's by far the greatest job I've ever had in my life. Not just because I get to go and get paid to watch unbelievable artists play.
Yeah, she saw Harry Styles when he was at Massey Hall.
Yeah, and it holds about 2,500 people.
Yeah,
so,
imagine that.
Yeah, and I've seen like Patti Smith, Neil Young, Robert Plant, Ringo Starr, Pat Benatar. Like
stood beside Paul Simon.
Yeah, it's just...
Buddy Guy sang to you.
Buddy Guy sang to me. It's crazy. The stories I could tell in 5 years, it's unbelievable, let alone over 100 years of history there. It's just a magical, magical place. It's not shutting down for good. It's shutting down, they say, for 2 years for renovations. They're kind of redoing it and building onto it and everything. So there's a chance I'll be back. I mean, I'll definitely be back for shows. I don't know if I'll be back for work, but right now, it's everyone I work with is like my family. We are all so connected, and I just love everyone that I work with. And this is like such an emotional week. I have 4 shows left to work, and then it's done. And it's like really starting to hit me now. Like I'm trying not to like burst into tears right now. It's just. It's such a special thing, and I know that, you know, I'll never have a job like this again in life. Like this is that like that truly special one of a kind experience. You know, I'll have good jobs, I hope, and you know, I'm sure I'll find enjoyment elsewhere. But it's like an end of an era, I guess. And I know a lot of my Massey Haller coworkers like listen to this podcast and everything. I just want them to know how much I love them.
No, they're always so nice to me when I go.
It's just the greatest place in the world.
Well, shout out to your Massey Hall family and to everybody. And
it's not the end, though. I'm going camping with them in July, and I know we'll you know, stick together. And I work with a couple of them at my other job too, which is great. And so, yeah, it's just, but it's something so special that's ending, and I just wanted to take a moment to, you know, say something about it.
And actually, can people buy the Massey Hall pins online? Oh, yeah. Why don't you tell them about that?
My coworker, Amanda, she has a shop called Live and Let Rock. I will post it on the Instagram. She makes awesome pins.
She made me an amazing, well, she gave me an amazing Tom Petty pin. Yeah. It's just a heart and says raised on promises.
She's got another like Rolling Stones related, like it says tough on it. And she made a pin of Massey Hall, which is so gorgeous. And I'll make a post about it because it's amazing.
Yeah,
and
it's good work.
Everyone that lives here, everyone that's been to Massey, like that, they have a special story about that place. So yeah, it's amazing.
I'm glad that I got to get backstage before the renovations.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that was a special day.
Yeah, it's such a special place. It's,
well, I think it's kind of cool too, like not to brag or anything, but when like your friends are playing Massey Hall, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're having a big party.
We're
having a big party as well on the 3rd, just like us Massey Hallers, and we're all gonna get up on stage and sing and everything.
That's lovely.
Yeah, so yeah, it's really cool, and it'll be a nice, you know, send off for sure.
Cool.
Yeah,
well, speaking of sending off, we've got one more thing to do that we wanted to do before we said goodbye this week, and we wanted to do some fun trivia.
Yeah.
Because our Instagram account is very much like a did you know and on this day in, and we like to do a lot of, you know, muse and groupie birthdays, as well as rock star birthdays and wedding anniversaries and things like that. So I know that when you post stuff, a lot of the times I'm like, well, why didn't even know that?
Yeah.
So we figured that we'd do a little bit of, I wrote out some questions for Lynx, and Lynx wrote out some questions for me.
Yeah.
So you guys can play along with us.
Yes.
So do you want to go first?
I'll start. How about I do one and then you do
one? Okay, that sounds good.
All right. So because I went to Pearl Jam, I got a Pearl Jam. I know you're not crazy about them, but this is a cool thing to know about Eddie Vedder too. So in 1992, Pearl Jam did an MTV Unplugged set, which is incredible. And it's on YouTube. Everyone should watch it. Eddie Vedder had written something down his arm. I'm going to give you four clues or four choices.
Multiple choice.
And you can pick which one you thought Eddie Vedder had written down his arm.
Okay.
Save the Whales, pro-choice, fuck Bush, or eat more soy.
Okay, this is going to make me seem maybe a little bit ignorant because I'm trying to think 1992, President Bush. Well, was that a thing? Was that in the 90s?
Well, there are two President Bushes.
Yeah, so that makes me even more uneducated on the U.S. Presidents. So it was Save the Whales, or was it Fuck
the Whales? Save the Whales, pro-choice, fuck Bush, or clearly not eat more soy.
Okay, my instincts are going with fuck Bush.
No.
Pro-choice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Still, that's good.
Yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't write fuck on his arm.
That was a little aggressive, I guess.
A little aggressive for him.
Yeah. Also, MTV. Maybe they would have had to blur out fuck.
Right.
Maybe.
So then it would have just said Bush.
Yeah.
That's a stupid answer. Okay, so pro-choice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Did you see what he did recently? So we follow his wife on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how Melania had worn that, like, stupid jacket about not caring?
Yep.
Well, I guess Eddie had found a green jacket that his wife owns and then took tape and wrote,
I do care.
I do care. Why don't you?
Yeah.
And then they posted a photo online. So
he's an incredible activist and human being. And I just love him so much, and he's beautiful, and his so is his voice. So
I've got a question for you.
Okay.
And actually, this one is about the Monkees, because I recently saw the Monkees.
Yeah.
At the Sony Center.
I was so upset that I couldn't do that.
Well, you were in London.
Yeah.
So.
I was at Pearl Jam that night, actually. Yeah. So, worked out.
And the reason why we had amazing seats at the Sony Center was because Anne Moses Marino,
yes,
who used to write for Tiger Beat magazine and spent a lot of time with the Monkees, hooked me up with four tickets.
Amazing.
So thank you, Anne. And then towards the end of the show, like, people were welcome to get up, and so I was just at the front of the stage dancing.
Amazing.
So this is a question related to the Monkees.
All right.
Who among the following did not audition to be in the Monkees?
Did not audition.
So out of the four answers, three of them auditioned, one of them did not.
All right.
Was it A, Paul Williams, B, Stephen Stills, C, Kenny Loggins, or D, Charles Manson?
Oh, that's crazy. Like, knowing that three of those people did is just crazy. I'm going to say Kenny Loggins.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
You got it right. So Kenny Loggins did not audition to be in the Monkees, but Paul Williams, Stephen Stills, and Charles Manson did.
That is crazy. Yeah, Charles Manson wanted to be a celebrity. He wanted to be a musician. I think a lot of his hate and anger kind of came from being unsuccessful, and that's sort of how things started.
I just remembered something.
What?
Gabba Gabba Hey?
Yeah.
It's from a movie.
Yeah, Freaks.
We didn't say that.
Oh.
When I said, where does that come from? We didn't mention that it was from Freaks. But guess who told me that it was? Andy from Real Rock.
No,
he sent me a message and said it's one of my favorite movies and sent me a link.
Yeah, yeah. One of Us. Goo Goo Gaga. That's an interesting film.
Okay, your turn.
All right. I didn't know the answer to this, but it was such a cool question, I couldn't not ask it. So, which movie star did Patty Sciolfa briefly date in the 80s?
Oh my God.
This is crazy.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know who Patty Sciolfa is, that is Bruce Springsteen's longtime wife.
Yes. So apparently she very briefly dated one of these four men. Eddie Murphy, Warren Beatty, Judd Nelson, or Tom Cruise?
Who's Judd Nelson?
He was in, I think, The Breakfast Club. He's like one of those 80s.
Right.
Yeah. He might have been the asshole.
So Eddie Murphy, Judd Nelson.
Wait. Was that... Yeah.
Tom Cruise or
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty? I'm going to say one which I think would be kind of strange, but I'm going to go for it.
All right.
Tom Cruise.
You're right.
What?
Yes.
She dated Tom Cruise. That's really funny.
In 1985, they briefly dated, and apparently they actually met backstage at a Bruce Springsteen show.
Oh my God. That's good.
Right?
That's
so it must really have been good. While Bruce was still with Julianne, and Patty was like, all right, I'll give you a go. But she only had eyes for Bruce, I guess. It didn't work out.
Got it. Good one.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the Donovan single, Mellow Yellow, who whispers the phrase quite rightly?
Oh.
Was it A, Bob Dylan, B, Paul McCartney, C, Keith Moon, or D, Carmen Miranda?
Oh, that's weird. I don't think it's Dylan because they had a strange relationship. What were the others?
Paul McCartney, Keith Moon, or Carmen Miranda?
Carmen Miranda seems so random. I'm gonna go with Keith Moon.
No,
is
you're
it Carmen?
Wrong. Nope.
It's Paul?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. So it was Paul McCartney. And apparently, this song, Mellow Yellow, was commonly believed to be an ode to the hallucinogenic properties of smoked banana peels.
Oh, never heard of that one before.
Yeah. Well, should we play a clip of the song?
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Here it is.
I'm just mad about saffron. Well, saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about saffron.
she's just mad about me. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow.
All right, your turn.
All right, I got one more left for you. This one is specifically tailored to teenage Shanti.
Ooh!
Where did Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake meet? Was it the TV show Romper Room? Was it on a video shoot? Was it at a New Kids concert or the Mickey Mouse Club?
That I was waiting for that one. I think it's the Mickey Mouse Club.
You're right.
Yeah.
And apparently
Christina Aguilera.
I know Ryan Gosling was on that show.
Mm-hmm. So for those Americans who don't know, Ryan Gosling was also on a Canadian television show in the 90s called Breaker High.
Yes.
And he was the nerd.
Yes.
He was not the hot guy.
No, he was the guy who
loved him. His name was Sean on it. I still loved him, though. But I have a thing for tall, lanky blondes.
Na 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 na, hey hey,
carry me away.
Na 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 na, hey hey, carry me away. Na 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 na, hey hey, carry me away. Life is a wave that comforts me, it carries me across a sea of hope. And hope is the thing that we can all have today.
I loved that show so much.
Oh, I've tried to find that online to rewatch it again.
So good. High school on a cruise ship.
Yeah, I would like fantasize about like every single boy on that show.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have a final question for you.
All right.
Alrighty. Who was going to sing backing vocals on Carly Simon's You're So Vain before Mick Jagger showed up?
Oh.
Was it A, James Taylor, B, Harry Nilsson, C, Cat Stevens, or D, Warren Beatty?
I don't know. That's a good one. Who was it? Harry Nilsson or... I mean, I want to say James Taylor for obvious reasons.
So, is that your final answer?
I'm going to say Harry Nilsson.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
You got it. So it was Harry Nilsson. So Simon, Jagger, and Nilsson did 3 takes together, at which point Nilsson said, "You guys clearly don't need me."
Aww.
And bowed out.
Aw, good for him.
Yeah.
It does sound really good with Mick in the back there.
Yeah. I love Harry Nilsson.
I know. I love
Such
him
Such a huge
too.
Fan.
I find it interesting when people think that the song is about Mick Jagger.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did sing backing vocals, and mm-hmm. why would you want to sing backing vocals on a song if that song is about you and she's calling you vain?
But it was about Warren Beatty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just extra, extra, extra trivia on top of your trivia, people.
Yeah.
How did you do? Did you do, when you're listening at home, 6 out of 6 or what?
Yeah.
So I think probably, you know, we should just finish off by playing a little clip of You're So Vain.
Yeah,
and call it a day. So before we do that, we'll just say thank you so much for listening. We hope you had fun this week. A little bit different, but like we said, we're growing. So
yeah. And check out our Muses and Stuff Instagram account if you don't, for more trivia and mm-hmm. random information and
fun
cool
pictures
photos.
And yeah. little stuff of Links and I here and there. And I maybe sometimes our Instagram story might be confusing because we both post. So like there's one, like I know this weekend it was just me camping and then like you seeing the voids.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
How was that show, by the way?
It was really good.
How close did you get to Julian Casablancas?
I was pretty close, actually. It was surprisingly like easy to wander around. I thought it would be packed in there, but I guess they lowered how many people are allowed in that venue.
Honestly, I wish
it was
that
crazy.
I would have been there, but
it was,
I was
one of the
camping.
Smallest venues you'd never see like the Strokes playing.
I know,
it was
great.
My friend Jasmine met him after it. She's like the ultimate Julian Casablancas
fan. So she
fan.
Stuck around.
Yeah.
She met him.
Yeah. And she was over the moon. She posted a photo. They look so cute.
Why didn't you stick around and meet Julian Casablancas?
Well, I had just returned from England
That's
the day
okay.
before. And
Fair
I did
enough.
Not sleep in England. So, Yeah, I was lucky that I made it to the show, but it was great. I danced, and I had some guy who was clearly on something, who was dancing, having the time of his life, like, in front of me, and we both had a good time.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, everybody. Check out our family over at Rock and Roll Archaeology. Check out their shows if you're into music, music trivia, music history, all that stuff. It's all there, babies.
Yeah.
Rock and rollies.
Awesome.
All right. Take good care and see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
He walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf, it was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself gavotte. And all the girls dreamed that they'd be your partner. They'd be your partner.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.